This is Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program coming to you from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will continue listening to a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. Pastor is in chapter 1 and has been discussing both the fruit in the lives of believers, that is, the visible expressions of the invisible power of the Holy Spirit within, and then, because of that union with Christ, the fruit produced as a result of our ministries impacting others. This discussion came off the current verse, verse 13, where Paul writes to this church at Rome, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." Let's rejoin Pastor Greg, and we will go back a minute for context.
And Paul believes here that there is a work for him to do among this church, even though he's not the founder. You know, in that scripture I just read, Jesus tells disciples, there's others that have labored, and now you're there to reap what they've labored. And you think of all the Old Testament prophets and all those who struggled under the law to maintain the word of God. And now these men, fishermen, tax gatherers, now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they can go in, they have that which is fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and they can harvest, they can reap that which is sown by others, they can bear fruit to eternal life. And even though he's not the founder here, he knows that there's something for him to do among this church. Even as we studied last time, back in verse 11, when he says that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. He says, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. And there's a work for him to do, remember, in the city of Rome. We saw that last time in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. The Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." There's a work he has to do at Rome. Notice he says at the end of verse 13, he says that I might have fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles, or just as among the rest of the Gentiles. That word there, because you're going to see different words used in Romans, and sometimes people get confused. That word there, translated Gentiles, is ethnos, a race, a tribe, a nation. In the plural, it means nations, Gentiles. We saw it up above. If you look back in verse 5, where he says, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." What's translated nations in verse 5 is the same word translated Gentiles in the New King James in verse 13. The nations, the Gentiles. Ethnos. Obviously, we get the word ethnic from it. This church, or these group of churches at Rome, remember, has a composition. We studied this at the beginning, of both Jews and Gentile believers. Both Jewish believers in Jesus and those that are Gentile believers in Jesus. But Rome itself, even though it has a good-sized Jewish population, we saw that, Rome is a Gentile city. It's a Gentile city. It's the city of the nations. It's the chief city at that time of the nations, even as Jerusalem is the chief city of the Jews, right? You have to witness to me in Rome just as you witness of me in Jerusalem, the Lord tells him. And Paul is what? Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, right? 1 Timothy 2:7. for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. Paul says, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Gentiles, ethnos. 2 Timothy chapter 1, right? But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, ethnos. And in his argument in Galatians chapter 2, he says in verse 7, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised, the nations, had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the ethnos, the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. And obviously speaking about the council at Jerusalem, right? So you have this division of Jews, circumcised, Gentiles, all the rest of the nations, the uncircumcised. And altogether you have mankind. And the gospel goes to both. And they're called to be one man in Christ Jesus. And Paul's ministry, think of it, Paul trained his whole life in Judaism, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's called as an apostle to the Gentiles. Distinguishing in the church at Rome, later on in Romans chapter 11, he'll say, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. I really try to amplify that which God has called me to do. My ministry has been primarily, now we know he's also witness to Jews, but to the Gentiles. That's his calling. He has a very keen sense of his call. And where else would you expect the apostle to the Gentiles to complete his ministry than in the city, the chief city of the empire of the Gentiles, Rome? Everything has brought him to this pinnacle, to this summit of his ministry. And clearly the Lord sees this as a city that Paul needs to be in. And Paul says in verse 13, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. And then he says, I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. He's a debtor. Some of your translations will say, I am obligated. I am obligated. The word there for debtor, aphiletes, means an ower, someone who owes anything to another. If you owe something to another, you're a debtor. That's the word used here in the Greek. I am a debtor, both to Greeks and barbarians, to wise and to unwise. I'm obligated. Paul sees his labor, his work, his ministry as so important that he has an obligation. He has a debt. He has to discharge this trust as an apostle to the Gentiles. What he has received from God, his gifts, his ministry, his office, his apostleship, what he's received, someone can say, look at that, look what he's received, look at this calling that God has given him. He's the Apostle Paul. He says that's made him a debtor. That means he owes something. He has a responsibility. He has an obligation. You know, too many times people think they receive something and that makes them special and look at me. No, when you receive, what did Jesus say? For everyone to whom much is given, Luke 12:48, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. They will ask the more. The more is required. The more you receive, the more is required. The more committed to you, the more asked of you. So he has this apostleship. Someone can say, gee, he must think highly of himself. He's called as the apostle to the Gentile. To him, that means I got some obligation. I'm a debtor. I owe to Greeks and to barbarians, to wise and to unwise. I have to discharge this trust that God has given me. He's obligated to preach Christ. He's obligated to do all his ministry requires him to do as an apostle to build up those Gentile churches. He owes it to them. It's his calling. He can do nothing else. And so he says in verse 15, so as much as is in me, he says what? So as much as is in me, I am ready. I'm ready. As much as in me, all that's in me, I'm ready. Paul has worked to this point, and he's ready. No matter what the risk at Rome, he knows he's not a stupid man. He knows that as this church grows at Rome, the persecution is going to, the emperor is going to take notice of it. This can mean he can be executed, which he ultimately is. He's beheaded. He knows there's a risk, but this is what God has put before him. He's obligated. He owes it to these Gentiles, and he's ready. As much as in me, I'm ready. That word there, prothumos, means to be ready, to be willing, to be eager. Ready, willing, eager, predisposed. Prothumos, I'm ready. Whatever the trust God has given us, and I said before, everyone has something the Lord has given them. We must be good stewards. We must be eager. We must be willing. We must be ready to discharge the trust to fulfill the debt. We owe it to those we are called to minister to. And not just ministers in the American church sense of the word have ministries. Everyone has some ministry. Everyone has something God has called us to do, people he's called us to reach, fruit he's called us to labor in his vineyard, in his field, to harvest and bring in onto eternal life. And we're called to be ready. We owe it. As he's given us the abilities, as he's given us the gifts, as he's given us that which is necessary, we have to discharge the trust and do that which he's called us to do.
Our church website is shiarjashub.org. Serious times require serious Bible study. And on shiarjashub.org, you will find hundreds of radio audio teaching programs, information about our church, and links to our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service on YouTube. These videos are posted up on the Shiar Jashub channels on YouTube, Rumble.com, and X.com, as well as on the church website itself. And both the Heavenly Authority and Roman series are available on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music. You can find all this information at shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.